Matt Katz here with you on The Takeaway. Glad to have you with us. For the past few years, the University of Farmington touted its STEM curriculum and told prospective students it would prepare them to compete in the global economy. Like many schools, they had a slick website that showed photos of young, happy students hanging out on campus. And it would all come at a reasonable price tag, $8,500 for undergrads and $11,000 for graduate students. But there was a problem. The school was fake. There were no classes, no professors, and this weekend, it was shut down by the Department of Homeland Security. Why DHS? Because they ran the school and used it to ensnare foreign students looking to obtain student visas as a way to get to the United States. Leon Fresco is an immigration attorney and former Deputy Assistant Attorney General at the Justice Department. He was head of the Office of Immigration Litigation under the Obama administration. He helps explain why DHS is in the business of setting up fake universities.
So here's what happens. When you get approved for a student visa, you get approved not for, let's say, a semester or a year, but you get approved for the entirety of a course of study. So, for instance, if you were going to go to the University of Michigan, you would have a four-year or five-year student visa. And what the student visa system allows you to do is to transfer from one school to another. And the concern of the Department of Homeland Security is that too many students come with a legitimate student visa to go to a legitimate school, but then either transfer to one of these sham universities or don't go to a university at all. And so from the standpoint of what ICE and DHS was trying to do, they were trying to basically set up what is known as a honeypot or some kind of trap to get, rather than go and follow the million students that are on the student visa program, see if the students prone to this behavior would come to them and try to shrink the pot of student visa abusers that way.
So this honey trap ensnared eight people initially, and those are the ones who have been criminally charged. What do we know about them?
Well, the eight people who were criminally charged were what are known as the recruiters. And so a recruiter, which is used by every school, whether you're at the Ivy League or whether you're at the bottom 100 of the U.S. News and World Report, recruiters' job is to go find qualified foreign students to bring to the school. But what I said is that these recruiters knew right up front that this school was fake. And so their job was to get fees from the students and take fees from the fees so that they could earn a living getting students to come to this fake school. And so it's only the people who made a profit off of this scheme that were indicted. It wasn't the actual students themselves.
But then there were many other students or would-be students who were simply enrolled at the fake university, and they've also apparently been detained. But that's for immigration violations. Is that right? What do we know about those immigrants?
So what ICE has done is it's picked up immigrants all over the country, which is very interesting because obviously if you were studying at this university in Michigan, you would be in Michigan. And sure, most of the people they picked up are in Michigan, but they picked up people in New Jersey and in Texas and in Georgia and in other places. And what they do is they actually, and I've had some people call me to ask for legal assistance, ICE is charging them, interestingly enough, not even with visa fraud, but just saying they need to be removed because they violated the terms and conditions of their visa. But it's not actually charging them with the worst possible charges they could charge them that would permanently ban them from the United States.
So according to the Department of Homeland Security, they said in a statement that these students use this nationwide network of immigrants to exploit U.S. immigration laws. But would these students, not the eight who were criminally charged, but the others who were ended up being ensnared in this and charged with immigration violations, would these other students really have tried to shirk the terms of their visa if this university hadn't been set up as a fake university by DHS in the first place?
So here's the question. It depends is the answer, because some people are looking to abuse the student visa program. And again, if you have a million people on a student visa program and even less than 1% of people are coming with intentions to work instead of study, you still have a problem in the order of magnitude of the tens of thousands. The question is every one of the students who engage in this university a perpetrator or are they a victim? And so it's complicated because someone might say, well, if this school was approved by the U.S. authorities to give visas, well, that's all I need to know. And, you know, if they have a kind of liberal attitude toward education where they don't have classes and they'll give me a degree.
Right.
I mean, why is that my problem? I'm still getting a degree. That's what I came here to get. And then I can go to work. And, you know, there's maybe a lot of American students who might be happy with such an arrangement as well.
Leon, I'm wondering if DHS got a good bang for their buck here. What kind of resources do you think were involved in this operation? I mean, setting up a fake university, maintaining a fake website, devoting federal agents to running a fake college for months, maybe years. Any idea how much this could have cost and whether there was good value in doing something like this?
In the sense of this particular operation, I could say it was probably extremely costly in the magnitude of several millions of dollars in order to ensnare these 600 individuals and these 8 recruiters. You would probably think, okay, this is not worth it. But the question will be moving forward for these students to say, well, wait a second, is this one of these fake schools or is this a real school? So to the extent that it does deter people from transferring to schools that might be a little bit suspect, you might say they might get closer to getting the value of their money. But this is going to be the question moving forward.
So it might have had a preventative effect, but this isn't the first time a fake university was set up by federal officials to basically nab foreign students. Can you tell me a little bit about what I think was called the University of Northern New Jersey?
Correct. So that was done in 2015, the University of Northern New Jersey. That one ensnared similarly over 1,000 students. And they also did not criminally charge the students, but the recruiters, same as here. But there were many more recruiters in the dozens. And so it is something that ICE has used on 2 other occasions to try to ensnare students. One of them was a much smaller sort of pilot program where they had a few dozen students that they were able to ensnare. And so the question is, what is the best way to do this moving forward? And I'm a believer in the fact that these honeypots are a bit unseemly and you're praying, you're going to be over-inclusive. You're going to be preying on some students who didn't know better and don't actually have a criminal heart in mind. And that is a tragedy. And so I think given where we are with technology, there are so many easy ways to, you know, on a smartphone, register that you're in class on a given day in school. And that's a better way to track by far that you're actually here on your student visa than all of these fake universities and everything else that people are trying to do to catch students.
I've been speaking with immigration lawyer and former Justice Department Deputy Assistant Attorney General Leon Fresco. We've been talking about how the Department of Homeland Security set up a fake university to catch students seeking fraudulent visas to work in the U.S. Thank you very much, Leon.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.